Some weeks ago, I announced that we would begin a study of the books of 1st and 2nd Peter, and this morning, with God's help, we'll begin our study. 1st Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. 1st Peter, chapter 1, verse 1. This morning we're going to study the introductory verse to this book that's inspired. The first words are, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. And these are the words I want us to look at today. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I think all of us in the congregation this morning believe that the Bible is God's revelation to us. The Bible was written by men, men who were inspired and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. The Apostle Peter, who's writing the letter that we're studying this morning, was a man who recognized that we had not received the Bible because intelligent men decided they would write something interesting and helpful for mankind. Peter himself said in his second epistle, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 21, for the prophecy, that is the Old Testament, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. This simply states that we did not receive the Old Testament because some man decided of his own will to write his ideas in a book. But Peter said, holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And the word moved here simply means to be borne along, to be carried along, as a floating object would be carried in a stream. The stream is broad enough for the allowance of some latitude, but it carries the floating object in a specific direction. And holy men of old spake as they were directed by the Holy Spirit of God. They could use words of their vocabulary, whether they were sheep herders, whether they might be herdsmen, such as Amos of Tekoa, or whether they were men who studied the Word of God, who were of the main spiritual thrust in the nation of Israel. But they were moved or borne along by the Spirit of God. And I think that we must consider, and I do believe with all my heart, that men who wrote the New Testament were so inspired and borne along and moved and carried and protected and guided by the Spirit of God. And because they were so protected and so hedged in and borne along and guided by the Spirit of God and totally inspired by the Spirit of God, we can trust what they have written. And we can trust it without question. And we can trust it without fear. And Peter was one of these holy men, not of old, who wrote the Old Testament, but a holy man of the New Testament who helped write what we have today in our Bible in that division called the New Testament. Here was a man who, by his life, by his knowledge, by his inspiration, by his dedication to God, gave us these letters. And they instruct us in how to live as individuals. They instruct us in how to live as a corporate body, that is, as the church, and our attitudes and our feelings and our emotions. When these are out of line with God's will, they bring us back to the Lord and to His will for us. What kind of man was this man called Peter? How did he become a person who can open a letter to strangers who are scattered abroad in various parts of the known world, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ? How could this man come to this place in life where he says, or writes, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ? Let's open our Bibles to the book of Matthew, and let's look at this man who says of himself that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. First of all, let's look at his calling. Men of God have callings. Men of God have always had callings. God called Peter, as we shall see, and God calls people today. God calls all of us to salvation. God calls all of us to follow Him in the act of baptism. God calls all of us to a New Testament relationship. God calls all of us to a kingdom relationship. God calls all of us to a life of service. God calls all of us to a time of peace and plenty, a time upon this earth referred to in the Word of God as the millennial reign. God calls all of us to an eternal home. God calls. But God also calls specifically and especially and individually men to preach the gospel and men to pastor His churches on this earth. God called Peter and God called me, and God has called others in this church. And God has called others in this world, and God is still calling men. And the Bible tells us we ought to pray that the Lord of harvest would send forth more laborers into His harvest. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 and 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother. They were casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. When you receive your Bible knowledge from Hollywood, or if you have received your Bible knowledge from television specials, or if you receive your knowledge of God only because you're forced to read the bumper stickers on the automobile in front of you, you may very well have the idea that Simon Peter and his brother Andrew were ungodly, cussing, greedy, graspy grabbers in a dirty business. And that Jesus, a long-haired rebel of His time, came walking along the seashore with a rather unique expression upon His face. And that his eyes were strangely fixed upon Peter and upon Andrew, and that they some way glowed, and perhaps a halo was round his head. And these dirty, grimy, grubby, greedy, uneducated, ungodly, unbelieving fishermen looked up and saw him, and they were transfixed by his personage. And when he said, "Follow me," they followed him. Just walked along beside him and after him because they were so enthralled and entranced by his unearthly character. If you believe that, you believe a lie, but isn't true. That's the Hollywood version, television version. Simon, later called Peter, and his brother Andrew obviously had already received Jesus as Savior. They had already received him as Savior in the sense that they had believed the preaching of John, who had said, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of God or heaven is at hand." And Simon and Andrew had already received him as Messiah. They had already received John's baptism. And when this man came by, they followed him because they had heard and they had seen perhaps him identified as the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And when Jesus said, "Follow me," because I want to make you important. Follow me because you can get into a profession where there's a lot of money. Follow me because I want to make you an instrument to make people happy. Follow me because I want you, brethren, to be set in a position of authority to organize a thing that I believe would do the world a lot of good. Jesus did not tell these brethren that. He said, "Follow me, I have a purpose." And that purpose is that you become fishers of men. So easy for preachers to forget why God has called them. And I talked with one of our brethren yesterday who is a young minister. We had a good conversation and he said, "You know, Brother Penn, I can't get it together. I can't seem to be what I want to be." And I said, "Look, today I've been busy all day long. We have hardly stopped. It's now 10 o'clock. And I still haven't fulfilled what I feel like I should have done as a preacher. Because there's so many grubby things in this world we've got to do. And there's so many noble things we've got to do." But if God has called you, you're called to be a fisher of men. And that's what I'm called to do, to be a fisher of me. And Peter followed Jesus. They straightway left their nets and followed him. But Jesus didn't call him an apostle at this time. In fact, he did not refer to others who had become followers and disciples of his by the term apostle. And Peter uses this in 1 Peter 1:1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Let's turn a few more pages in the Gospel according to Matthew to chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. Chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. And we shall see here Simon becoming an apostle. Not simply a believer in Jesus Christ, not simply a learner or a disciple of Jesus Christ, but now he becomes an apostle. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, now that means a follower, a learner, one who accompanies and listens as someone teaches, and he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now notice. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first Simon, who is called Peter. And the word apostle means one sent. It is primarily an adjective, not a noun. Primarily a descriptive word, and it means a messenger, an ambassador, an envoy. It means to send off or to send away. So now Jesus has chosen 12. But the first, according to the Bible, is Simon, who is called Peter. And that's why Peter could write to the strangers scattered abroad, Peter, an apostle of Jesus. He did not assume that name and that title and that special responsibility on his own. The Lord called him to be a fisher of man or a fisher of men. And then he designated him as an apostle, which evidently was the first office that was ever established in the church. You see, the church had already been organized and established. You say, well, what did they have for a Bible? Jesus. You say, what did they have for the Holy Spirit? Jesus. You say, how could they be directed? By Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church, and he was the head of that church. And these people who followed him had John's baptism. They had been immersed by John the Baptist. And Jesus took this material that John the Baptist had immersed, people who were already believers in him as the Messiah, and then who had accepted him as the promised one by the name of Jesus whenever it was appointed out by John, behold the Lamb of God. They accepted him as such. Now, they are apostles. For Paul himself said, for God has set some in the church, some what? Some officers, first apostles. But with the death of the last apostle, the office of an apostle ceased to exist. And now in the church, there are pastors and deacons. These are the only officers that should be in the New Testament church today. The office of an apostle has ceased with the death of the last apostle. The Bible tells us that they were the foundation. In the book of Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, the Bible speaks of them as the foundation of the church and Jesus Christ himself, the chief cornerstone. Well, things seem very well for Simon, don't they? A man who has been saved. A man who has been scripturally baptized. A man who has been called from the fishing for fish business to fishing for men business. Not only that, but he is now specifically designated as one of the 12. An apostle. A special messenger. A special envoy of Jesus Christ. One of the 12. Where there will be no more. Out of all the myriads of millions and trillions of people in the world, only 12 apostles, and Peter is one of those. Things look good for this man called Peter. But let's look in the book of Matthew a little further. In this gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14, and see how this man is getting along in his relationship to this man who has saved him by his blood and called him as Peter said, with an holy calling. And I introduce you, as we read from the book of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 33, I introduce you to a man by the name of Peter, and we shall call him at this time Doubting Peter. But you say, no, not Doubting Peter, preacher. You've not read your Bible. It's Doubting Thomas. But let's look. Now, verse 22, the Bible tells us, straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mount apart to pray, and when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. See, the apostles had gotten the ship, but Jesus stayed to pray. They were sailing on the sea, and they were aware that he had not gotten into the vessel with them. The Bible tells us that he was there alone in the evening. Verse 23. But verse 24 tells us the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" When they were come to the ship, the wind ceased, and they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." I think Peter is beginning to learn that he's still human. And it seems that the call to be an apostle has especially affected him in such a fashion that he cannot control a tendency that he seems to have possessed to become a person who is living with an exaggerated opinion of himself. It's a little bit hard for Simon not to think he was a big shot. Okay? Now, when Jesus walked on the water, the disciples were frightened, and they were not only just frightened, they cried out for fear. And Jesus spoke to them, and Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou. A lot of God's people can trace the beginning of their trouble to that one small and oftentimes believed to be insignificant word if. If it be thou. And with this if in his mind and in his heart, with this if he climbed overboard. And you know, we can attempt a lot of things for God, sort of a dare to be great attitude, or I dare you to type childish activity. You can remember when you were younger, and boys and girls or boys were playing, and I dare you, and there was fear in your heart, and you were afraid you might hurt yourself, but because of this dare, you were willing to do something in order to impress your friends or to show them that you were no coward, but you went ahead and did it. Now, there are many people who try to do God's people with this kind of I dare you to do it type attitude, but all the time there's a lack of faith. There's this if. Now, Peter climbed over the rail of the ship. I probably wouldn't have done it. And don't you look at me so self-righteously and say, well, I think I would. I mean, you know, you mean you wouldn't preach? I think I would. I doubt it. But he did. He climbed over the railing of the ship and he started walking on the water. And he saw that the wind was boisterous, and the Bible tells us he was afraid. Jesus said he began to doubt that he didn't have enough faith. He said, oh ye of little faith, or oh thou of little faith. Now Jesus, the Bible tells us, saved him, but the Bible tells us that and beginning to sink. Now, when you see some of the pictures of Simon Peter and this story in the flannel graph stories, or you see an artist's interpretation of these verses of Scripture, most of the time you'll see Simon Peter in water up to his chin, with his hands up and his eyes wide, almost going under. And Jesus is reaching down this way. I don't know whether Peter ever got that far underwater or not. The Bible says, and beginning to sink. And beginning to sink. Maybe it's just ankle deep. Maybe it's just only knee deep. But I'm not criticizing him if it was just toe deep. I think he did the right thing when he said, Lord, save me. And I think when you and I realize our doubts, when we've suddenly climbed outside our comfortable place or outside our normal place of activity and sphere of life, we decide we'll witness, or we decide, and prompted by the Spirit of God and prompted by the truth, if we'll try to do something for God and suddenly we feel alone and we feel ourselves sinking, listen, Peter did the right thing, and you'll do the right thing when you say, Lord, save me. You know, Peter could have just kept on sinking and blamed Jesus. Some people do that. In the beginning, things haven't gone right. Things haven't been what they thought they ought to be as a Christian. And so they immediately look to God and say, God, this is your fault. Lord, I have forsaken all to follow thee. Now look what a mess I'm in. And so they began to blame God. And they began to rail on Jesus, the blessed Savior of our souls. Peter didn't do that. Peter could have cursed the waves and blamed nature. And slashed at them with his fist. And lashed at them with his tongue. And cried out as Job, oh, I wish that I'd never been born. Or could have said to Jesus as he continued to sink, Jesus, this is too tough. The waves are too high. It isn't worth it all. I'll just sink and I'll drown. I'll end it all. There are those who are doing that. Or Jesus could have turned around, or rather Simon could have turned around and looked at the ship and blamed others. No, there were some others there. And he could have said, I got out. How come you guys didn't? You see, I'm sinking. And there you are, guys. You're in the ship, aren't you? Yeah, you're in the ship. You didn't get out here with me. I want you to look what you've done to me, and I'm sinking. But you can't do that and look at Jesus. Over here. I quit because of all the people, and I quit because of all the persecution, and I quit because I couldn't do this and I couldn't get that. I quit. I don't go to church anymore because there are people there who didn't do me right. Look, all you 11 guys, you were cowards, you were chicken. You didn't get outside with me. Sometimes I think 3/4 of Southwest Little Rock feel that way. Go with me sometime, visiting. Go with Brother Goodwin. You'll hear this. But Peter didn't make such an accusation. Because Peter knew that if he wasn't walking on the water, it was his fault and his failing and his alone. And let me tell you something this morning, my Christian friend, my lost friend. If you're not walking on the water, it's your fault and yours alone. Don't rail at Jesus. Don't rail at the waves. Don't blame the others who stayed in the ship. It was Peter who said, Lord, if it be thou, are you walking on the water?